Coronavirus is back in our lives, and we know that whenever it comes back, it doesn't bring any happy tidings. It means trouble, pain, sickness, death, fear, disruption, etc., etc. All that is coming in. Many states in some areas have lockdowns now. Once again, restaurants, bars, hospitality sector is suffering. Lakhs are being thrown out of their jobs. Also, more and more cities are imposing night curfew, even Delhi, where I live. Now, one reason we haven't been talking about coronavirus so much is that we thought that people were now getting tired of it or bored with it. And you can see it in our data. In our data, there was a time, say, until about September or last year, or September to October, when this was going to a peak. Mid-September, India reached its peak, and then it began to decline after that. Until then, the most seen episodes of CTC, Cut the Clutter, used to be on coronavirus. And suddenly, as the graph went down, the interest declined. And then the decline in the popular interest became steeper than the fall in the graph. So much so that clearance of new vaccines, that new scientific developments, that even new discoveries, etc., were no longer making news. So people got tired, people got complacent, and people decided in their own enormous wisdom that this pandemic was over. This was very pronounced in India as well. We saw that there were successive statements, and then it became more and more prolific from top leaders, ministers, health bureaucracy, everybody more or less declaring victory in the war against coronavirus. But you know, we've said this to you many times, that this virus is very arrogant. Also, it has an ego. So anybody who thinks that they've defeated the virus will wait. It will lie back and wait and strike you when you are at your most complacent. So it came back now and struck us when we are at our most complacent. In fact, I keep saying the virus is arrogant. It has an ego. It has an enormous ego. So Dr. Randeep Guleria, the director of All India Institute of Medical Sciences, who you see often on your TV channels and who also featured in our off-the-cuff show 2 weeks back. In fact, I will share that link with you again. You can look at it. He also had a good description of this. He said this virus has such an ego that it won't come into your home until you invite it, which means you go out and invite it. So you go out, you do irresponsible things, and the virus comes in. So virus is now back. In fact, if you see this current wave, it is rising much more steeply than the previous one. Already we crossed 1,15,000 cases yesterday, which is an all-time record, and it's going to go higher for now. We don't know when this will taper. Unfortunately, this is happening. It's doubly unfortunate that this is happening at a time when we have not just one weapon available against it, but an entire array of weapons of the same weapon. Or you can say we have not just one rifle, but a whole range of rifles available to fight this. And these rifles are the various vaccines. Three of these vaccines India manufactures. In fact, India is the preeminent manufacturer of these. So first is the Oxford University developed AstraZeneca, marketed and produced by Serum Institute of India, which is the largest producer of vaccines in the entire world. The second is our own indigenously developed Bharat Biotech vaccine, or Covaxin as it's called. It is also the vaccine that follows the most convention vaccine approach, like the two Chinese vaccines, which means taking a dead virus, actual coronavirus, dead coronavirus, and injecting into our bodies with an adjuvant so that it produces an immune response. And also, India now has the contract. Indian companies have the contract. Dr. Reddy's lab, I know for sure, they have the contract to manufacture the Russian Sputnik vaccine, which is the other popular, not very expensive vaccine in the world. When you look at the really expensive ones, then you're talking of Moderna and Pfizer, but Sputnik is not that. So three of the preeminent affordable vaccines in the world are being manufactured in India. Another Indian company, Biological Evans, has the license or the arrangement to produce the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is a one-shot vaccine. That has also come in. And in fact, after the last Quad summit, it was decided that a bunch of money the Quad countries will spend on producing vaccines, and a lot of it has to come to Indian companies for producing the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So 3.5 vaccines India can produce. 3 it's producing, 4th it will produce, and yet India is short of vaccines. As we speak today, India is short of vaccines. Maharashtra, the state worst hit, is crying, saying that in 3 days, they'll be running short of supplies. Other states, other hospitals, you see these stories every day, particularly at private hospitals. Big hospitals are given 300 vaccines a day, 500 vaccines a day. Then they could be administering 3,000, 5,000, 10,000, any number of vaccines. Now, how did we get into this mess? So you have a situation today when you have a humongous demand. It is now nonsensical to say that people are not going to get vaccinated. There is a lot of vaccine hesitation. Still, enough people are going to get vaccinated, because in India, vaccination is not compulsory. It is voluntary. Now, if you have a supply side crisis, which means you don't have enough vaccines available, and you also have a demand side situation, which is not a crisis, but you have humongous demand. So demand is rising. Demand is elastic. It can fall and rise, but it's now rising like this. Vaccine production is where it was. You are now at a situation where you are about to finish what the vaccine manufacturers, mostly it was the Serum Institute, but also Bharat Biotech, whatever they had stored, using their own entrepreneurial sense of risk. So Serum Institute probably had about 10 crore piled up. I believe they have so far produced 16 crore copies. That's the reason they were able to also keep their international export commitments so far. But 10 crore they had for Indian consumption. Bharat Biotech maybe would have had a crore or so, because their capacity to produce is just even now about 4 million, 40 lakhs a month. It's not been scaled up. Now, how did we get into it? We always knew that we have a population of 8 crore. Was never a surprise to us. It is the most well-known fact. You ask any class 3 school kid also, they'll probably tell you this. So how come we did not prepare? So one reason we did not prepare, quite evidently, is because we also thought, the system also thought, the pandemic was over. There was herd immunity. It wasn't such a big problem. We can take our time. Also, the other thing was all this usual waffling, who will pay for it, how much to pay for it, how much to budget for it, do you allow it in the private sector or not. So everywhere you will find decisions have been taken on the run. We have wasted 6 months in our preparation for vaccines when we knew that vaccines are coming, and when we knew our own country was going to manufacture the bulk of these vaccines in the world. We did not secure our own supplies. That is the understanding that I have, looking at all the data and talking to a lot of people across the board, in the government, among vaccine manufacturers, people who watch the situation, and also from our sterling correspondents on our health beat, who cover this and who track this on a daily basis. So the first orders that government of India made for vaccines with Indian manufacturers were after 3rd of January, after the emergency use approval was given. Whereas, if you look at the smarter countries, they had all secured their vaccine supplies much earlier. In America, you had that Operation Warp Speed that Trump started. So even when trials were going on, billions of dollars were paid to vaccine manufacturers so that they would start producing and doses will be available. Look at the situation in America now. More than 1/3 of Americans are already vaccinated, and the numbers are going up very sharply. For a country with a population less than 1/4 of India's, on some days they have crossed the 5 million mark, and they are going ahead with that. In fact, now Joe Biden has said that from April 19, every American adult, that is 18 plus, every American adult can go and get a vaccine. In fact, I don't even know how they determine adulthood. is it 18 years or 16 years? Because you can get a driving license at 16 in America. So he can do it because his government was proactive in placing orders. In India, it took too long. It's only in January that orders were placed. So whatever was stockpiled is being used, but no manufacturer had the money to increase or scale up their production. So now what the manufacturers are saying is that we can scale up our production, but we need the money, because also you've cut the prices so low that for us to scale up production on this basis is very, very difficult. Now, where is India's vaccine economy right now? Or where is India's vaccine political economy right now? So you have a situation where government says thou shall sell only at this price, which is 150 rupees. Okay, government then imposes price controls, firm price controls. You cannot even negotiate with anybody else. There is no price discovery, there is no market, because you know what? I am the only buyer, because you, wretched fellow, can't sell to anybody else. Because if you sell to anybody else, I have the National Disaster Management Act and the Epidemic Act, and then obviously then I have the CBI and ED and everybody else, so you don't take pangas with me. So you can't sell to anybody else. Then you have the export market. I am also controlling the export market because I am the sovereign. I will decide priorities. So if I don't let you export, you can't even export. So you have a buyer who has the manufacturer captive, a buyer who has fixed the price, a buyer who is a sovereign power, and the buyer who doesn't even let you compete in global markets. This is the North Koreanization of Indian vaccine industry at a time when this should have been the pride of India. India should have been sitting pretty among all countries right now, as much as America. But India did not do it. Look at UK. UK proactively booked their supplies, both of Pfizer and AstraZeneca. That's why UK now has vaccinated already nearly 60% of its population. Nearly 60%. And you can see the UK COVID graph getting better. And this is the same UK, the same Boris Johnson government, which had earlier made a mess of its response to COVID in the first wave. So you have a situation, Americans bought proactively. Look at Israel. Now, Israel is a small country, so we are careful making comparisons with Israel. But still, it's a small country, 1 crore population. Israelis had an election coming up. So what did Benjamin Netanyahu do? It may not have won him the election, but because the election was coming up, he went ahead again proactively and booked as many Pfizer doses as he could get. He paid twice the price going in the market at that point, twice the price. You might say he was trying to buy votes and Israeli voters didn't buy into that. But the fact is that he's got his entire population vaccinated now. Israel's vaccination percentage now is about 140%. What that means is that 100% of his population, I'm saying barring small children, is vaccinated, and 40% has got two shots of the vaccine. In fact, it so happens just now that maybe he's not been able to pay in time. So Pfizer has said that they are stopping further supplies because the money has not come. But I presume the money will go and more people will get their second doses as well. That was a sidelight. So look at other countries today. Today, if you look at India's ranking in vaccines per 100 people, India's ranking is among the poorest when you count major countries in the world. We don't count China because we don't know. But Israel, I told you, 140%. UK, more than 60%. US now 40%. In fact, by the time you watch it, US would have crossed 40%. Even Brazil, which is otherwise in a shambles, 8.5%. Mexico, 7.5%. India, just about 5%. In fact, a little below 5%. So you might say, oh, my population is so large, you can't apply percentages. But remember, when we were talking about our death figures and our cases per million, then the same large population was an advantage. And we were taking advantage of that, saying our deaths per million are only 120. Look at America. America is, look at Britain. It's getting close to 1900. So, but if you take per million absolutes in one case, you have to again look at absolutes in the other. So compare absolute with absolutes, percentages with percentages. So on vaccinations now, India is a laggard, undeservingly so, because India is a laggard while India is the largest manufacturer of the vaccines. Why is it a laggard? Because the powers that be thought that they are masters of the universe. So I can decide the price, I can also order that I will be the only buyer. I can also decide at what price private hospitals will sell it. I can then also issue notifications ordering these companies to produce more. This is like nationalizing India's vaccination industry. That is the reason I said that this is North Koreanization of the Indian vaccine process. I think, from what I understand, I think something dramatic or something drastic is going to happen over the next few days, because alarm bells are now ringing in the government. Because you know that Donald Trump was going to win his election. It was quite clear that he would have won this election. One thing that lost him his election is not all the funny, idiotic things, or idiotic as they look to many of us, that he said all the time about this and that, or his press conferences or his tweets. What lost him the election was his mishandling of COVID, of his lack of responsibility, accountability in dealing with COVID. And that started with his underplaying the threat. So this government also, if there is one thing Narendra Modi knows, it is politics. So, and he knows that his future and his present all depend on continuing to win elections. Next year is going to be the UP election. So I think something drastic may be done right now. It will still be 3 months too late, but still something will be done. But I do hope that at some point there is some accountability sought over what has happened. Now you look at the COVID situation elsewhere also, and you will see many of these problems. For example, our tracking of the new variants is very poor. So less than 1% of the new positive cases are being tested for testing at genomic labs in terms of how many of these contain new variants. Compared to this, UK has been doing more than 8%. Last week, UK has crossed 33%. We don't want to compare with UK. US is now more than 4% and rising. But the fact is, 1% is too low at a time when India's daily cases are highest in the world and India's daily deaths are highest in the world. And they will remain so for some time, so it seems. So India is now the top scorer on all the wrong metrics and a poorer scorer on one good metric, which should be the vaccination rate. That is a problem. Now, India is at this point averaging 2.6 million vaccines a day. Last couple of days have been good. Day before was 4.3 million. Yesterday, that is Tuesday, were about 3.4 million. So it's not so bad. Average over the last couple of weeks is 2.6 million. Now, if this average continues, even then for India, it will take 2 years to vaccinate 75% of the population. So this has to move much faster. For it to move much faster, manufacturers have to produce a lot more vaccines. For that to happen, you have to put a lot more money in their hands and you have to make their business more predictable. So either you have to place larger orders in the long run, or let them sell in the private sector, or open up the exports, or create some more free market price discovery mechanism. And you can do creative things. You can fix a price at which the government buys for free distribution for anybody who wants the free vaccine. But private sector can be allowed to pay more. You can still set a price as you did with private testing. Maybe 1,000 rupees. A lot of people will go and spend 1,000 rupees. You, on that 1,000 rupees from a hospital, private hospital, take 300 rupees as cess, and with that 300 rupees buy more vaccines for free distribution. So anybody who gets vaccinated at a private hospital then effectively pays for two more, and if they don't want to pay, they can go to a government place. But you know, for that you need imagination, you need thinking, and you need, most importantly, humility. But our system, no matter what lectures they give you on that evening press conferences, whatever they have, humility is not one of them. Because if there was humility, then a statement of the kind that made news yesterday, although I must say I will go into it in detail in 2 minutes, The statement was not unwise and not illogical, but the health secretary is saying that this vaccine is not for everybody. It will be given for those who need it, not for anybody who wants it. That sounded like we are the Mai Baap Sarkar. We will decide you deserve it or not. Huh? Tum kaun hota hai bolne wala? That is not the way to do it. But what he said logically was not incorrect. The logical point was that there is a limited supply of vaccines, but that requires honesty and that requires humility on the part of not the individual, but the system. The system doesn't want to admit that there is a shortage of vaccines right now. There is a limitation on the number of vaccines available. This is exactly comparable to the way that the same system wasn't willing to admit that the community transmission of coronavirus is taking place for some reason, that became a kind of a family shame, a family secret, embarrassing family secret, which had to be kept hidden from the whole world. At least it did not have to be accepted before the whole world. The same thing is now with vaccines. Nobody is willing to say, look, we have a limited supply of vaccines. So later he went on to speak the truth, and which is a good truth, to say that this is being done on the basis of a dynamic supply demand situation, which means depending on how much demand is there and how much supply is coming, we'll then see if we have three vaccines available and five people demanding it, so which three should get it and which two can wait. That is a logical thing, but to put it like this doesn't sound right, that you know, we'll decide who needs it and who wants it. But again, India has got into this situation because India didn't plan. Now, before I conclude, I will tell you also what is happening with India's states. Once again, the picture is very mixed, and you will see that some trends are very logical. If you look at the ranking of India's states in vaccination, and we are looking at large states, not small states, Goa, Sikkim, etc. Large states. Large states is usually a couple of crores plus. If you see the large states, the best performing state for vaccinations now is Gujarat. It is almost 10%. In fact, when you see this show, it would have crossed 10%. That is brilliant. That is 10 out of 100 Gujaratis have the vaccine. Now remember, Gujarat had a very high number of coronavirus cases earlier. It's a state bordering Maharashtra. It is coming in from Maharashtra into adjoining states, but Gujarat has been able to block it proactively. The second is Chhattisgarh at about 9%. Until this morning, Chhattisgarh was 8.8. So I am saying 9%. Rajasthan 7.5%. So number one, Gujarat. Number two, Chhattisgarh in India. Number three, Rajasthan in India. So Rajasthan about 7.5%. Then Kerala nearly 7%. Karnataka nearly 6%. And then you start having also ranks. Then you have two right at the back. This state at the very bottom is Uttar Pradesh, 2.9%. That you would almost expect from UP because it's a poorly governed state. It's always been a poorly governed state. And Bihar, which is 2.31%. So UP is the last, Bihar is the second last. Punjab, about 3.65%. That is terrible for a state which has 2.5 times the per million fatality rate from COVID for the entire country. Punjab has 3 times more people dying of COVID than, almost 3 times more people dying of COVID than the rest of the country, and definitely almost 7 times more people dying of COVID per million population than Kerala. That Punjab has been such a laggard on vaccinations, not because I don't think it's the fault of the government. I think it's the same attitude. That's why I said it's a logical story. The same attitude that people say, virus is gone. Kuch nahi honda, nothing happens. And they are the ones who then invite the virus. So there's a lot more virus. They go to doctors, they go to hospitals too late, and they also avoid vaccination. So Punjab is a sad story. You want to check out Punjab's peers, Punjab's neighbors. Haryana is now getting close to 6%. Himachal is also somewhere there. So Punjab once again is getting left far behind. You want to see some other states? Delhi, not very good. It's way behind Rajasthan, Chhattisgarh, Gujarat. For a city state, union territory, so rich. It's a shame. And then you have Maharashtra. Once again, it tells you a story. Maharashtra is a large state. It is today accounting for nearly 60% of all of India's daily cases and deaths. So all this is very, very, very revealing.